Hello and welcome to the Digital Insight, the technology, procurement and supply chain podcast that delivers valuable C-level perspective into the core issues surrounding business transformation and digital disruption. Each episode will bring you the most inspiring executive insights from those who are leading transformation strategies within the world's biggest and best known companies. The Digital Insight, disrupt, transform, evolve.
Welcome to the Digital Insight, the official podcast series for CPO Strategy and Interface magazines. With the recent outbreak of the coronavirus dominating the news, what impact will this have on the global supply chain? Alejandro Alvarez, partner of operations performance at Aiming, joins me as we discuss how, with China's role so crucial in the global supply chain, just how businesses may soon be affected more than people realize. Alejandro, welcome to the Digital Insight.
Thank you very much, Dale, for inviting me.
No, absolutely. The pleasure is mine. So before we dive in a little bit, can you give me a bit of and our listeners a bit of an overview as to who you are and what your experience is within the sort of supply chain and procurement area?
For sure. So my name is Alejandro Alvarez. I've been in procurement and supply chain for the last 15 years, both in industry, working fast-moving consumer goods, and over the last 10 years, more on the consultancy side of things. So I've been working for different types of clients across many industries, and that allows me to have a view as to the importance of supply chain risk assessment in the context, obviously, of what's going on today around the world.
And looking over that experience, and so you say you've been working in procurement supply chain for around 15 years. Procurement and, like I said, supply chain, the conversations around that the function have changed dramatically, becoming more strategic. There's more of a spotlight on supply chain at the moment. From a risk assessment perspective, then, how has that conversation changed? Is there more pressure than there was, say, 15 years ago, or has it become easier? How has that sort of risk assessment conversation changed?
I think it's certainly been prioritized for some types of businesses. However, I do believe that there's still quite a long way to go. If you look at precisely what you've just stated around the procurement function becoming more strategic and having a seat around the senior management table, one of the challenges that we all have as procurement professionals is the need sometimes to prioritize the short-term benefit or savings on top of more value-adding activities, such as, for example, making sure that there is a clear risk assessment carried out periodically to make sure that in the case that there is a world event, that the company is prepared. Now, to what extent the conversation has changed would also be slightly different when it comes to small or large businesses, right? A small and medium-sized business will typically be focused a lot on the day-to-day delivery and making sure that their clients are satisfied, that the goods and services that they provide are indeed meeting the needs of their customers, and not necessarily thinking actively around potential risks, unless clearly the business is highly dependent on very specific commodities or vendors. Whereas for large businesses, you would typically have a more mature risk management approach to procurement. However, I do believe that when it comes to priorities, with a few exceptions on very specific industries, a risk assessment is not necessarily on top of the list. So from my point of view, one of the key lessons learned that we can take from what's going on now is that a thorough approach toward managing risk can be much more valuable than a short-term priority to deliver quantitative benefits.
And looking then, as you've touched upon quite a few times, what's happening right now, the kind of the big one, of course, is the coronavirus. But looking at that as just one form of risk in terms of one form of, I don't want to use the word disaster, but something that's going to come and disrupt a supply chain and the entire ecosystem. If you could sum up what has been some of the biggest impacts that we've seen so far from a supply chain and procurement perspective of something like the coronavirus.
Mm. I think we're only starting to see the real impact now and over the coming weeks. And the reason for that, if you might recall, I think the whole the outbreak started during the before or during the Chinese holiday season, right? So many manufacturing businesses would have already, I suppose, planned for reduced work, for a reduced workforce and so on. At the same time, the lead times from China to the rest of the world are not immediate, right? You're talking about a few weeks, which means that the impact really we will only start to see over the next weeks, if not months. I think honestly, it is very hard to say to what extent the whole the different supply chains around the world will be disrupted. But what it is clear is that the risk management topic now is currently probably one or two in terms of priorities around boardrooms. And I think this is there's nothing positive about what is going on. What is interesting from my point of view is the learning from what is going on so that businesses can try to prepare going forward.
No, absolutely. And you said, of course, that, you know, we're only just really starting to see the true impacts, and we're still going to see further impacts moving forward. How important is it then, you know, at that board level and at any level really throughout the sort of procurement and supply chain function to, I don't want to say not to panic, but to kind of stay in touch with what's going on so that, you know, there aren't any rash decisions being made. And while this is, of course, a very bad thing, people aren't leaping to conclusions and making decisions without the whole information.
Exactly. So I think you exactly what you said about not panicking. I think panicking doesn't help anybody. And it also serves no purpose, right? I think what this will highlight is the need to have transparency across the supply chain. I think that is the key. That is the key word. Because for many businesses will have a clear view around who they are getting their main raw materials and services from, who are their key tier one suppliers. The challenge that many businesses will have is that visibility from the tier ones to the tier two vendors, right? Those vendors that may be procuring and or requiring goods and services from, in this case, China, that is where the main risk could be found. What can procurement professionals do? Well, again, when it comes to risk, there's one very old strategy that has been there for a while, which is called dual sourcing, right? I think what we've seen and heard over the last few weeks with all of our clients has been, guys, can you please do a quick risk assessment on our supply chain? That's the first question. Second, do we have alternative sources of supply? And I think that strategy will be something that will be prioritized going forward, if not in the short term, more in the medium and long term.
While that's looking broadly at sort of, you know, you said different sources of supply, that's looking at kind of a broad level. What about if we drill down into the kind of the supplier management part of that, in terms of you're going to have conversations with people, which can be difficult, which can be a little, you know, even in a situation as understandable as it is, that's not necessarily always going to be, like I say, an easy conversation. So how important will that kind of supplier relationship and the sort of human element still remain at a time like this?
Well, I think it highlights the importance of having a good supplier relationship management activity in place, right? If you think about it, it is in the main interest of your suppliers. It doesn't matter who you are. Your suppliers want to make sure that that they are delivering according to plan, right? If that is not the case, then they risk losing their business. So I think it also highlights the need to work closer, in particular with key tier one suppliers, to make sure that transparency exists across the supply chain and that risk management strategies are developed together for a number of reasons. But one that comes to mind is your tier one supplier will know the market, or more often than not, they will know the market potentially better than you as a buyer. And they are the ones that can potentially suggest risk mitigation strategies that can result in a win-win for both parties.
And how much do you think then, looking again broadly at it, can an organization truly prepare for the unexpected? Because, you know, it's been such a short amount of time, but so much of an impact has happened. So much has, you know, this has sort of expanded hugely in just such a short space of time that it's almost come out of nowhere. So how much can an organization truly, I don't want to say obviously see the future because that's impossible, but prepare for worst case scenarios as best as possible?
Yeah. Well, like you say, right? I mean, no one has a crystal ball, but I think organizations can plan for different types of risks, right? They can plan for known risks or known potential situations that could arise. And that is doable. But then the challenge is around planning for unknown risks, right? Or situations that are completely out of, that are not typical and that nonetheless happen. And I think by having that transparency, even about dual sourcing, or having alternative sources of supply can be a strategy that you put in place due to economic reasons. However, in the event of an emergency where a key supplier in a specific market may have some difficulties, then that same risk management strategy that was put in place for a known risk can also help you mitigate some of the unknowns that may arise as well. So I would say it is about being as thorough as possible in the risk management strategy, but also realistic that, you know, there will be a time where the organization will just have to be quick and react in order to mitigate potential risks that were not forecastable, if that's a word.
Again, this, you've already touched upon some key points there, but if someone was to turn to you and say, you're obviously working from a consultancy perspective and you've got that kind of 15-year experience under your belt. If someone was to come to you and say, what's one piece of advice you would give to somebody who's at a loss in terms of just understanding and getting their head around supply chain risk and procurement risk and just a risk assessment, they don't really know where to begin. You know, what's one piece of advice that you think would be ideal for them to, well, not necessarily be 100% successful, but just steer them in the right direction towards getting a better understanding as to what's required?
Yeah, well, I think a couple of things. One is get transparency across your supply chain, right? And it doesn't have to be that detailed, but have a relatively good understanding of the supply chain of your key materials, raw materials, components, whatever that you're buying. Understand the market, and then get close to your suppliers. Talk to your suppliers, in particular the larger ones, the strategic ones. They will be keen to work with you to put that to develop strategies together. I would say those are the two main things I would recommend.
And finally, while we're looking at obviously lessons learned, and obviously there's a lot of, I don't want to say bad, but obviously there's a lot of unfortunate things to come out of this. But how important is it to look at both the good and the bad, however small the little things are, when, you know, we come out the other side of this and we move forward as professionals, and we take, how important is it to take lessons, yeah, from both the things that happened that probably didn't go to plan, but also look for the good things that might have happened?
Yeah, so I think what you mentioned, what I said earlier about clients at the moment, or organizations at the moment, they, for a lot of them, they have prioritized risk mitigation activities, and they have worked internally with their operations, supply chain, procurement departments to put in place certain strategies that would help them overcome the current crisis. What is important going forward is not to put this in a drawer in 6 months and forget about it, right? It is important to remember that this, unfortunately, such situations happen, and therefore periodically reviewing these strategies is, it will pay for itself many, many times over, as opposed to not having a thorough approach towards managing risk and then suddenly being in a position where you cannot fulfill the needs of your customers.
No, absolutely. And I know I just said that was my final question, but one question has just come to me right now. We haven't really talked about it, is regulation and governance. Do you think that something like this will create a demand for stricter governance so that while there already is and are laws and rules in place to ensure that certain risk assessments are taken and undertaken, do you think in response to an event like this, there'll actually be more? There'll be more of a stricter governance on risk assessment?
I think from a corporate governance point of view, for sure, right? I think this topic will remain there for several organizations. From a regulatory point of view, I guess it would depend on the jurisdiction, right? But I would guess that I wouldn't see why there would suddenly be a big change. I think for certain key raw materials, okay, around that only come from very specific geographical locations in the world, there are already regulations in place, right? I think what happened now, the challenge now is that the crisis hit one of the, or potentially the largest manufacturing center in the world, which is China, right? So more regulation wouldn't probably have helped unless at some point protectionism really takes up and certain countries decide that for national security purposes, a certain amount of production has to remain within a certain distance of the country, right? But I think that would be, I don't know. I do not necessarily see it as something happening immediately.
Alejandro, thank you for joining me.
A pleasure, Ben. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Digital Insight Podcast in association with theinterface.net and cpostrategy.com. The Digital Insight is brought to you by B2E Media Limited. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Please remember to subscribe, rate and review. And don't forget to check out our podcast archive at www.b2e-media.com/thedigitalinsight.